I'm Phil Pringle, and welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. Thanks for joining us today from wherever you are in the world. C3 Church Global is a family of almost 600 churches around the world, and this podcast is all about equipping pastors and leaders to lead healthy, growing, and multiplying churches. We are Christ-centered, Spirit-powered, and connect-driven. Every week on this podcast, you will find new and uplifting content to strengthen you, equip you, and help you lead others into a relationship with Christ. You'll find a mix of devotionals that build your faith and your relationship with Christ, as well as rich and empowering conversations with leaders and friends in ministry from around the world. We also bring inspiring testimonies and updates from our pastors and churches throughout the C3 movement on the 64 nations that we're present in. Here's this week's podcast. Hey, everybody, welcome to the C3 Church Global Podcast. So exciting this week. We're talking with Pastor Alex Lee of C3 SYD.
Hello, Pastor Phil.
So good to have you here.
What a joy.
Yeah, and my Lord, things have been going well for you.
Well, it's all happening.
You've had a conference.
We had a conference.
We've had miracles.
And
you've started a prayer meeting every morning.
Yeah, 6 a.m. It's third week now, and we just can't stop the people praying. They just want to come. We've had like school students coming in their school uniform and praying and then going straight to school. We had some HSC students who came and prayed and then went did their English exam.
So good. Yeah, and that came out of the
really
conference.
Exciting. Out of conference.
C3SYD conference.
The overflow of conference.
Beautiful.
We had an appointment with God and it's just
carrying
it on.
So C3SYD conference next year,
yes.
Same time?
Same time. October, first week of October.
Fantastic.
And school holidays.
People should come.
People should totally
come. Yeah, from all over the country.
Totally.
It'll be amazing. And then also out of that, you've had some pretty extended altar calls on Sunday night, right?
Yeah, I mean, Sunday night just been, we tried to close the service. Well, we did close the service, but then went for another hour.
Don't you love that? When people just won't go.
Nobody left. Yeah. It was just amazing.
Beautiful times.
Yeah, hunger for God.
That's what we are going to do in May in Singapore.
I've told them
for us, the speakers and organizers and leaders, et cetera, no restaurant reservations.
Love it.
After the meeting.
So good.
You know, because you get people who think, I got to go to the dinner reservation, and they just break an altar call.
It's actually such an important detail. I learned this this last week at a conference on the Sunday night. The guys had booked all this stuff.
Yeah.
And I said, cancel everything.
Yes.
Cancel it all. Because it's so true. You end up shutting it down.
Right.
Because you got to go to a restaurant.
Go to eat?
Like, just have some food.
It's day 10 on the day of Pentecost. it's 8 o'clock. I've got breakfast.
We booked it.
We got a breakfast booking. Yeah, and the Spirit's going to fall at 9 o'clock.
Exactly.
You know, I think you got a structure for revival.
Yeah, so true.
Yeah, you can structure to shut down revival.
Yeah, exactly.
With an order of service, et cetera, et cetera.
Yeah,
if you become too inflexible and rigid with everything, that wind of the Spirit isn't free to move.
Making room, isn't it?
You
actually
room.
Got to make room for it.
Making room's the word.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I wanted to talk about something that you and I have both been engaged in pretty closely.
Yeah.
Called transition.
Yes, sir.
For some people, that's a really, this is like a bad memory,
horrible
word. And the fact is, transition isn't just about senior ministers passing on to the next senior minister. It's about within church.
Totally.
Every department is going to have a transition.
Mm-hmm.
The accountants, the worship leaders.
Exactly.
The connect group leaders.
Yep.
Everybody needs to know how to actually keep a church growing and moving from one transition to the next, not even a speed bump.
Yeah.
Seamlessly.
Totally.
And so if we can keep seamless transitions happening through the church, we can facilitate for unlimited growth.
Yeah, it's a constant, and that's so true, because if it is something that's a constant speed bump or we're constantly getting undone by it, we are never gonna progress.
Yeah.
We're gonna be constantly having to go round and round the same mountain.
Right.
Because we're not actually planning for it.
Right.
And I think, I mean, in the case of C3SYD, I think that's something that you and Pastor Chris did incredibly well, Pastor Phil, and set us up. I mean, like, I Well, I didn't actually know this, but you had had a sense 5 years prior.
Yeah.
Can you tell us a little bit about that? Because for me, like, obviously I didn't know that at that 5 year mark, which was wise. But
yeah,
we came in like a year to go and, you know, that's when it was on. But for you, that journey, what was that like?
Well, I knew one day, and I couldn't tell you the date, but I can remember the situation. I was sitting on the front row. I looked across. You were sitting there looking at the stage. You're just minding your own business. You were doing something for the school
right
at that stage. What did you hold a position?
I was the chaplaincy.
You're the chaplain.
I was the chaplain,
You're the chaplain for there.
Yeah.
And so it might have been a school event. And I saw you sitting there, and the Lord said, he's the guy.
Wow.
So I thought, well, you know, I looked at my date, you know, when I was planning. I go, it's a little early to tell him right now. But and then when we came to the moment of making the decision, like 2 years before we would do actually make a transition, I generally want to always want to follow due process.
Yeah.
And exercise due diligence. And from a biblical point of view, that is generally a process of elimination. So you present yourself and the board and the team with options.
Yes.
And then travel through.
Yeah, the options.
Those options and eliminate this one, this one, this one. So we had, you know, a possible four, but it came down to like three considerations maybe, and then to two, and then it was everybody was more than happy, and I was definitely not willing to consider seriously anybody else unless there was a major objection. And and there wasn't. No objection about you whatsoever.
Yeah. I didn't get a haircut, but I think the
I told everybody he's not going to get this.
Actually, how good is this at conference? One of our speakers, you know, he was praying for us, and he said, "Don't cut your hair, son."
Right.
So, amen. But you know, like, I guess it's testament, isn't it, that you're kind of always seeking God about who's next in the future.
Yeah.
And that's something every area of church life should be engaged in.
It's an important point regarding discipleship, because success is as much about selection. In fact, I'd say it's probably about 90%. I remember Teen Challenge were being commended on their high success rate of getting people set free from drug addiction. And they were asked, why is yours so much higher? They said, selection. We're not going to take anybody on who doesn't want to.
Yeah, right.
We're not going to take anybody on who's not really got their will in alignment. And a lot of times parents bring their kids down and the kid doesn't want to, but they're just forcing. We don't take that because the person is not ready to actually make a difference. And I think that's the same in terms of choosing who's going to be someone in the future. The selection process, is the person teachable? Are they faithful? Are they predictable, reliable? They have good character. So when you see those things, and then you get a sense also that God is guiding you, then you go like, okay, put that together. We can work on discipling this person.
That person. Yeah, and that combo of faith and wisdom. You're combining both of those, aren't you?
Yeah.
Seeking God and wise counsel.
Right. And we have the mind of Christ. So it's not just one person making a decision about this will be the next guy, but actually fielding other people's opinions and comments. So coming back to the idea, this is important, not just for senior ministers, but for every position in church life.
Yeah.
So if people can understand, number one, select that person who you want to move into a position. And you may find that the options for selection are small. It's not everybody. It's not like, oh, we can take anybody and turn them into anything. Actually, that's not true.
Right.
You got to make choices. And so a connect group leader.
Yes.
Leading a connect group has to find somebody that they are going to give jobs to. I heard you in the staff meeting talking about that yesterday.
Totally.
Such good teaching.
No, thanks, Fazville. Yeah, I guess the proactiveness that we were kind of saying, like, if you're not giving away responsibility, you're not actually leading.
Right.
So you know you're leading when you are in a perpetual state of giving away responsibility.
Right.
And, you know, that's where you're going to find people actually rise because they're being entrusted with responsibility.
Right.
And you're going to find what's a good fit. You're going to find also what's not a good fit.
Right.
And sometimes you got to do that. Sometimes you got to take a risk. Thank God for all the leaders in my life, like you and others, that have taken a risk and let you learn and let you fail and then let you work out your strength. And I think we got to be willing to take a risk on people,
right?
But also willing to then talk to them about how to grow,
right? Yeah, I can recall a couple of interesting moments in your world,
yeah,
like at airports and
a couple. It's very kind.
I always think that a mistake is nothing. It's a great moment.
Yeah,
actually, it's better than moments like that are better than just relentless success.
Yes,
because you haven't got a lot to say to anybody.
Yeah,
but when somebody makes a mistake, or my Lord, God has been so patient with me, merciful, gracious over the years, because I made so many dumb mistakes.
Yeah.
And you only know it's dumb when you look back at it.
In hindsight.
In the moment, you don't think it's dumb. You think you've been quite clever or whatever. And then the Lord must be scratching his head saying, why didn't you just look up and ask me about that before you did it?
Totally.
And I found in a very busy schedule that sometimes wasn't the most natural thing to do.
Yeah.
Just to carry on.
Yeah.
Make the decision, move on. Even if you feel a little bit uncomfortable, you think, no, we're going to be fine.
Yeah.
And actually afterwards thinking, should have stopped.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, yeah. It's all gone. Yeah, I mean, like the reference to the airport was I missed a plane, everybody, and I was meant to meet Pastor Phil somewhere, and I was on a flight and I missed the flight, and it was the worst day of my life. I just wanted to die.
How did you miss it? Tell me how you missed it.
I actually got there early.
Yeah.
Younger man, and I had my headphones on, and I just didn't pay attention to anything. I got to the gate, and I'd just like to say, in my defense, there were people still getting on the plane.
Yes.
And I'm at the thing. They said, you're 2 minutes late.
Yeah.
And they would not let me on.
They just
on.
Got cranky.
Yeah. So I called.
Yeah, we won't say which airline.
No, we won't. We won't throw Qantas under the bus. I mean, sorry. Yeah, and I called Sue. I was like, Sue. And it was the worst day ever. And then I arrived. And you know what you did? You may not remember this, but I walked, you know, it was during a session at this conference. And, you know,
it was the next day, was it?
Yeah, yeah. Well, I got a flight 3 hours later.
Oh, okay.
So I got in late. So the session had started. You're right. In there. And I'm walking past, you know, a row of giants in the faith. Yeah. Just walking in front of them. And then I sat down next to you. And you whacked me on the shoulder and just went. He just laughed. And because I thought, man, Pastor Phil's going to kill me. He's going to kill me. What have I done?
Yeah.
But you didn't. And, you know, there's been a lot of grace. There's room to move for people. And I think that's something you've always done. And we want to, you know, emulate for people so they can make mistakes and just grow and learn.
Wriggle room. If we're too rigid, we exasperate people,
right?
And we frustrate them, and they will never grow in that environment. And I've found, like, as an artist, even as a writer, that the mistakes are sometimes the making of a painting or the making of a book. You're typing away, and you have a thought, blah, 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 and you just put it all in there, and then you think, wow, that really works.
Yeah, yeah.
Or else you just, you know, in a painting, made a mistake and then you try and fix it up and it actually ends up looking better than what you thought it would.
Yeah, yeah.
So I think in the very, very big picture, our position now is better than Adam's.
Yeah, right.
You know, that was a mistake that God fixed, and now we're seated with Christ next to the right hand of the throne of God, for goodness sake. Adam didn't have that.
Amazing.
Yeah, and so getting back to a basic principle in the backdrop of transition, discipleship is really the thing.
Yeah.
that enables transition. We talk about transition, delegation, and all these things, but it's encapsulated in the concept of discipleship.
Yeah.
So Jesus basically passed all of his ministry, leadership, impact, influence onto the 12. He said, I'm leaving.
Yes.
He said, it's to your benefit that I'm going.
Yeah.
So discipling people has as its end goal, you're going to replace me.
Yeah.
Or you're going to do better than me.
Mm.
You're going to do what I'm doing.
Mm. That's the goal. And I mean, if you're then talking about transition at the point of transition, it's way too late.
Yes.
You've got to be discipling
a
long way in advance, right?
And that's so good.
That's where it can get us a bit unstuck. What would you say to a pastor that, you know, someone that is thinking, okay, transition is something I need to start preparing for?
It's a basic thing of wisdom that you prepare on every level, financially, physically, every which way, that you're ready. The whole Bible talks about preparing, digging deep to build a house that doesn't fall over, et cetera, and even anticipating what could go wrong and protecting yourself from those hypotheticals. So, the idea that, when I feel moved by the Spirit, I'm just going to select somebody and give them the job. You know, I'm going to do the Elijah thing, throw the mantle on Elisha. that is not a general rule. I do know of pastors who have just stood up one day and said, look, everybody, I'm leaving. This is your new pastor. See ya. And sent the church into cardiac arrest.
Totally.
Just complete disaster. And it's our integrity at stake that we must prepare.
Yeah.
It's the integrous thing to do. It's the right thing to do. Otherwise, we're not caring for that flock and saying, look, when I'm gone, there's going to be this guy. And certainly Paul did with Timothy. Peter said, I am going, but I'm going to leave you a reminder of the things that you should be doing. And Paul is saying, I want you to appoint elders in every city and make sure that you keep appointing a leadership culture, basically.
Something we've been trying to really grow in is with our staff is the thing of it's actually a perspective. So you've got to change the way you think.
Right.
And you've also got to allow your identity to actually shift from I'm a doer to I'm someone who develops. I'm a disciple maker. I'm a multiplier. And it's actually thing I've been learning and seeing is actually it's an identity.
Yeah.
Because a lot of people get, you know, like a classic thing is we celebrate the guy who does everything, right?
We're
like, oh, this guy's a hero.
Yeah.
Comes early, leaves late, he has 7 jobs. He has 19 different job descriptions. He's amazing. That's actually not amazing.
That's the worst
thing. What we're actually saying is, this guy sucks at delegating. I get the sentiment, but it's actually the wrong thing to celebrate.
Right.
So the person who's actually constantly giving away and seeing themselves as I'm a multiplier is always going to be ready for transition.
Yeah.
Always.
Right.
Because you're just in a constant state of multiplying.
Totally. You're always ready. Actually, it probably creates growth.
Right.
It isn't just accommodating and facilitating for growth that has come from somewhere else. It's actually one of the causes of increase in growth. Because as soon as you get somebody over the line onto your side of building the church, and they're no longer the built, they're the builder.
Yeah.
Then they own.
Ownership increases.
They own it.
Yeah.
So whenever I've held a 24-hour prayer meeting, like for Rise and Build or any of those things, for most people they think, oh, I'll appoint this guy or girl to oversee the 24-hour prayer meeting. Well, if we just broadened our thinking a bit, we said, how about we appoint 24 people and they take 1 hour
each.
And we spread the load away from your one super Christian to these other people. Now, that the guy's got the 3 o'clock in the morning thing. He's got to work really hard to get anybody along. So he's baking chocolate cake and whatever else if they're not fasted. He's saying, come to my 3 hours. And he calls all his friends. He gets everybody to do something they haven't done before, and it's spiritual. Mm. They're going to pray. Mm. But he would never have done that if there was just somebody on staff who's got the official position, got to organize a 24-hour prayer meeting.
Yeah, yeah.
And it's added to their already overburdened portfolio. But once you get people feeling like, yeah, I got my thing to do. I'm on at 3 o'clock in the morning. Mm. And that's like a hero hour.
Yeah.
So they really get into it. But what I'm saying is that your whole church starts to buy into it.
Yes.
If you can break down everything that's happening around the congregation into smaller chunks, then everybody gets in.
I love it. What would you say to the person that maybe is, sometimes it can feel like, oh, yeah, but I've got nobody. You know, like I can't, there's nobody I can give anything to.
That's the POV you're talking about before. Mm. You know, it's a perspective thing because it depends how I see people. Mm. When I open the bag from Bunnings, the little packet, do I see seeds or a tree? You know, so when I look at a person, do I see a tree or do I just see nothing? You know, in fact, some people, they see worse than nothing. They see things to criticize.
Yeah.
And they see things that are fault, fault thing. So they got a fault-finding perspective. But you got to, to be any kind of leader that's going to develop other people, you've got to see them as they're not. Mm. You got to talk to them as though they're strong, even though they're weak. Say, hey, you're such a powerful person. Mm. If you clothe people with faith, they rise to another level.
Mm.
You maximize their potential.
Mm. I mean, as well as probably where like really practical, you know what is actually a really good thing to do? Write a list.
Mm-hmm.
Like write a list of names.
Right.
Just any names.
Right.
And write a list. And you start to actually exercise the muscle of seeing people through a different lens, like you're saying. Going, actually, you know what? Actually, this person. Yeah. Oh, I didn't even think. Oh, yeah, this person.
Yes.
Oh, hang on.
I know.
And I mean, that's so important.
Well, I've had to watch myself because when I look out over our congregations, all I see is church planters.
Everywhere.
I mean, not so much these days, but in the early days, I thought, oh, they could start a church. Oh, those guys, I'm going to send them to Russia. They'll start a church there. And I believed in these people
Amazing.
Way more than they believed in themselves.
Amazing.
But sometimes they just took off. And, you know, like we'd send them and they start a church.
Incredible.
I said, yeah, of course you could start a church. You'd be amazing.
Incredible.
And nobody, their own parents didn't talk to them like that. They haven't had a pastor who talks to them like that. But as pastors, we need to see ourselves as maximizing people's potential.
Mm.
We're human developers. Mm. So we're going to make them better than they ever would have been. Because we've got clay in our hands, but we're going to turn it into a pot.
Mm.
We've got a seed. We're going to give it an environment that it'll just flourish.
It'll grow.
Everybody's got that capacity.
Yeah.
But the thing is, like I said before, selection is a big key. Because if they won't be taught, if they don't want to get involved.
Yeah.
It's going to be a very uphill struggle.
So there is a door.
Yeah.
There's a doorway.
And that's pretty much only that.
Yeah, that's pretty basic, isn't it?
Yes.
It's simple character things.
Yeah.
Not complex.
Can you do what I tell you?
Mm.
Just that.
Yeah. Yeah, and are you able to accept areas of growth?
Yeah. I mean, it's not as though you and I are ogres just looking for areas of a person's life that are at fault.
No.
And so we can tell them about it and give them some tough feedback.
Yeah.
And I know guys who felt like they are real strong disciples, but they actually were killing their people. Because it didn't matter what they'd done, it was always just a list of things they did wrong.
Yeah.
Straight after. That's not discipling. That's not feedback. That's not confronting or developing people. I think you should take at least 6 months of just positive, encouraging words.
Yeah.
So that there's this big background of love that those people trust.
Yes.
So when you finally do say something and you say it cautiously and carefully, so you're not going to bruise them, they actually find it easy to take.
And
Book of Proverbs says a wise man's words are easily heeded.
Ephesians 4, Paul says, communicating the truth in love.
Beautiful.
We all grow.
Yeah.
To be the mature body of Christ. So, I mean, like the thing I've always thought about that is that truth is seed, love is soil.
Mm.
And you don't, it's not the other way around. So if you're just hammering someone with truth,
right,
you're not actually creating any soil.
Right.
So there's nothing to plant it in.
Amazing.
So when you say, hey, here's an area that actually if you were to grow in this, we really feel like it'd help right. you a lot.
Right.
But if you haven't laid a foundation of love first, soil, where we believe in you,
right.
we love you, you've built that soil.
Yeah.
When you do that, you plant a seed, it's going to grow.
Yeah.
Without it, it's not going to grow.
That's right. So the thing that I've, you know, one of the early days observations I have of you is that you're quite comfortable with not being on main stage and helping other departments of church, like you're at one of the locations preaching, whereas you're on a screen in the main campus or one of the hubs and or else other people are doing things. And then I've looked at, it's an interesting process because I've looked at some of the people you've released, and I know yesterday you released something like four more people on the preaching team and you were celebrating these people. And I looked around and I know one of them. I thought, wow, that's just awesome because I don't know if I would.
You thought, wow, that's a risk.
Yeah. Well, that's, and I think that's a good thing when others are looking on and thinking, oh yeah, he's taking a chance there. But
yeah,
but that is good for everybody.
Totally.
Keeps everybody on an edge.
Yeah, 100%. I mean, I'm so into active, intentional, constant multiplication.
Right.
It's just what we do. It's not even like it's multiplication month. We are just constantly multiplying. But I think what's important is a culture that celebrates growth.
Mm-hmm.
So for example, I say a lot to our team is, guys, if you need to grow, that's not failure.
Mm-hmm.
So there's no shame. There's no embarrassment about needing to grow.
Mm-hmm.
All of us have to grow. Every single person needs to grow. But failure is to need to grow and not identify it and live with an unidentified area that actually you need to grow in.
Mm.
So I think on that basis, we can bring people into an environment where there's risk because we know, like you're saying, the door is very clear that if you're coming into this, we're gonna give you feedback.
Yeah.
And feedback's not just negative. Feedback's also positive.
Should be 90%, I reckon.
I've brought people into a room and the door was feedback.
Right.
Because before they came into this level of room, I've given them some feedback on an area of growth and to see how they go with
it. Yes, right.
Can they cope? And that then, it has created a level of, okay, this is the door.
Mm-hmm.
So this means how you got to live in here.
Right.
And the living room is going to be, we're all growing.
Yeah.
We're all growing.
Yeah.
And, you know, I think that's, therefore enables an environment where you can take a risk.
We need a sign, don't we, around us saying under construction.
Exactly.
On the front and on the back, L.
Exactly.
Learner. Yeah.
Exactly.
So I'm still learning how to do this thing.
And as a leader, you've got to set that.
Right.
So you got to lead with, you can't be requiring everyone to be vulnerable and you not be vulnerable. So I've got to go first.
Well, you know, since I've not been pastoring the local church, I sort of lamented the loss of a pulpit and I wanted a pulpit. So I decided I'd get involved in social media. Now I have two coaches.
Yeah,
I've actually had three, but now I've just got two. One of them is only like 4 years old in the Lord. He's a young guy. He's like 28 years old or whatever, but he is brilliant. He's got over 3 million YouTube subscribers, way more than anything I've ever been near. So I want to figure out what he's doing, what he's saying, and he is more than willing to share everything that he's doing. And then other guys who I'm trying to learn every which way. And so if I'm not in a state of learning and I'm only doing things that I know how to do, I really feel like I am wasting a big area of my life because there's so much I don't know yet in my future. There's so many things all of us don't know in all kinds of areas. So if we stop learning, we're going to stop growing, developing, taking ground. And the church has done this so many times. One last thing before we wind up. Coming into May next year in Singapore, the Outpouring, which is the global gathering of C3 churches from around the world. I've talked to a few people who have said, yeah, we're really excited about coming. And I think that's awesome. I think it's great that people are excited. But I have another sense, another feeling, and that is I feel duty bound, if you like, to be there because the world is, I have not seen the world in such a mess in my whole life. And the need for power ministries has never been stronger. Not just one or two great Reinhard Bonnkes or men who work in miracles and attracting millions of people. We need hundreds of these people.
Yes, sir.
Hundreds of men and women of God who are filled with power. So this is not just about we need more leaders and we need to develop leaders. And I'm right into leadership.
Mm-mm.
But it is actually based on something else. Mm. It's based on power, the power of God. It's based on ministry. If I'm trying to be a leader in the kingdom of God using all the worldly principles and everything and thinking that that's going to actually bring growth, I'm mistaken because it's not the river. It's the riverbank.
Exactly.
And that's great to have a riverbank, but no point in having a riverbank if you haven't got a river. But the banks, the riverbanks are far easier to do than river.
Mm.
River is about prayer, ministry, life, worship, all those things that people come to church for.
Yeah.
I was talking to my PA yesterday, I think, about this. The fact is, people don't come to church for leadership.
No.
You know, oh yeah, I'm going because I'm going to learn about leadership today. They come because they're facing insurmountable difficulties and they want faith and miracles and the power of God, and they want guidance from the Word of God as to how to navigate life and relationships and get wisdom for this and for that. And just to feel community and to feel the love of God.
Mm.
So all of that comes out of the ministry, the flow of life. And so what the reason I said all that is because
so
in May next year in Singapore, we've called it The Outpouring for a reason. And that reason is because we believe we are going to see the raising up of a whole army of power ministries, young men and young women, not just old guys who sing worship songs and then pray for a couple of sick people. It is actually the need for us to have churches that are full of power.
Mm.
I remember people used to come to our church in the way back in the 80s because, you know, falling down in church was a new thing. But we were known as the church where people fall over. And people were coming from everywhere because it was a phenomenon. And so a lot of people got radically saved.
Amazing.
Radically saved. And are still following Jesus today, 45 years later.
Amazing.
Yeah.
Yeah, that room for the power of God. You know, in Matthew 13:54, it says, Jesus went to his hometown and they marveled.
Yes.
Because of his great wisdom and his miraculous works.
Right.
And I think the church has to be very careful that we are not shutting down the works.
Right.
And just taking wisdom.
Yeah.
Actually, it's both.
Yeah.
Walking the earth like Christ and the body of Christ, we've got to walk in both. So we've got to make room for the signs and the wonders and the power of God moving.
Right.
In Jesus' name.
Totally. We have to raise up a generation of powerful pastors.
Yeah.
Not just people who have got nice 3-point sermons to comfort and inspire the people, but actually when they stand, there's a power that defeats demons, that releases angels, that brings the Holy Ghost on people's lives. And we're praying for all of you who are listening today that that same power would touch you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thanks, Pastor Al.
Thank you, Pastor Phil. What a
great
privilege.
Chatting with you. Amen. We look forward to seeing you next week. Hey, thanks so much for joining us. If you're a pastor or a leader, we'd love to connect with you. Throughout the year, around the world, at our regional gatherings are a great opportunity for pastors to come and discover who we are as a movement. Or if you simply want to come and be refreshed and blessed, you're more than welcome. If you're interested, reach out at hello@c3churchglobal.com. That's hello@c3churchglobal.com. See you again soon.